Good morning, everyone.
All right.
Thank you, Sean. That was awesome.
This is kind of a different format where we got two different things. I want to keep talking about.
Sean was talking about what we can't do that
night. We got a schedule to keep.
Psalm 122, if you guys would all please turn there.
As you turn there, I want to start by kind of just saying thanks to everybody who's put this on. What do we call it? The Family
Committee.
Family Camp High Council. Jared and the girls. Mark, thank you.
And all the Mount Meadow staff.
That's the Family Camp High Council, right? I was so happy when they said, let's go to Mount Meadows, right? Family camp is a great time. It's a time where we can sit down, where we can get together, and we can just kind of chill with the focus of the church and God and being together and just loving each other. It's just a wonderful thing. It's like a three-day church service, right? And if you are like me, you probably remember a time where you would ask your parents if you could skip church. You guys do that? When I was a high schooler, do we have to go today, Dad? We could skip it. We'd have a whole day. We could watch cartoons. We could play video games. That was never enticing to my father, actually. But I look back and I'm like, man, I was an idiot, right? To skip church now would be almost ludicrous to me. I would rather skip Christmas morning, Thanksgiving dinner. To me, the idea of coming and hanging out with you guys is so fun. Now, I'm not saying I don't miss once in a while. I have to trip or I have to go on or something like that. But going to church now has changed in my mind so much that it's almost a painful thing when, like, Jen's like, hey, you want to go to Greece for 2 weeks? I'm like, no. And I went to the churches in Greece and they're like, boring. They're like, hey, we're going to sing and chant and do it in Greek. No thanks. So, I don't understand when people are like, hey, I don't go to church, but I love God, right? And there's this current in society right now where, like, I just got a new job, and so the first thing I do is I tell everybody that I'm a Christian and they should go to church. And so in the last 2 months, I've probably heard, I don't know, 5 or 6 times, like, you don't have to go to church to love God. And I'm like, yeah, you're technically right. Aren't they? Is that true? Do you guys think that's true? I do a lot of back and forth, so you guys are going to have to answer when I'm doing Mountain Meadow style. What do you think?
It's true.
You don't have to go to church. Any disclaimers to that, or are you just like, no, I don't got to go to church?
Not true.
Well, it's true if you truly love God, but you get to go to church.
And that's where the point is. We're going to be in Psalm 122 today, and it starts out with, I was so glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord, right? I was thrilled. I was peaked. I was jacked up. Hold on, my computer turned off. Okay. So, Psalm 122, let's read it. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So, we always start with context. And we're reading poetry again. You guys know how I feel about poetry. This is a psalm. It's a Hebrew poem. And just like in English, poems have different forms. And this is kind of like it's a chiastic poem, but it's a loose chiastic poem. You guys know like haikus? So if you have a haiku, it's a 5-7-5 syllable thing. This is a chiastic poem. It's going to be like a haiku with 8 syllables. Like, real haiku people will say, that guy was a loser. But, it's a loose chiastic. Now, a chiastic poem, if you guys remember, I think Tom Vasquez was trying to teach you guys what a chiastic poem was. It's a poem that almost looks like It's got lines like this, and then there's a rainbow to the side. So if it's an odd number, 1 in this case is going to link to 9, and then 2 is going to be 8, and 3 is going to be 7, and 4 is going to be 6, and 5 is going to be 5, right? And when you have this kind of poem, the point of the poem is in the middle, right? The point of the poem is always going to be all of these are supporting. And it's kind of like a Sudoku game where you can see how does 1 and 9 go together, and how, and that's where it gets a little bit loose on this poem. Sometimes I didn't get all of them, but it's fun. Do that in your own time. So the whole point of this poem is kind of this linchpin is in verse 5. The thrones of judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Okay, so we know that. And we know that good poetry transcends time, right? And a good poet doesn't just talk to you about what was going on at the time you wrote that poem, right? But a good poet knows if this is decent, it's going to be read in 100 years from now in English lit. So let's make it make sense for the masses. Now, what you have now is God is the poet. So when God writes a poem, he's thinking about the people he's writing to at the time, and he's thinking about me, and he has our names in mind as he's writing this poetry, right? And so this poem has to do with who he wrote it to in the cultural context, which is Jerusalem and the Israelites, and it has to do with us as well. So how does it apply to us? That's the point of all English classes, is to see what is really being said here. Face value, this is a psalm of ascent. This is a psalm that the Israelites would say when they go up to Jerusalem, however many times a year they would do that, and they would sing these psalms as they would go up there. And they would be excited to do it, right? We don't do that, do we? So what's the relation? How does this affect us? What's the connection? Not a rhetorical question. That means you can answer. Not everybody wants to. And the temple is
within.
You beat me to it. She cheated, darn it. The temple for them, God's temple, was in Jerusalem. That's where God sat. And that's why they would go up to them, right? But we see in John chapter 4, we did that 2 family camps ago, right? The time, so Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman, and he's really letting her have it. And she tries to distract him with some theology, right? And she says, Jesus, tell me, the Jews say you have to go to Jerusalem, and my family says we worship here on this mountain. Which is the right answer? And he says, woman, I tell you, the time is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers of the Father will worship the Father in spirit and truth. You will not worship on the mountain. You will not worship in Jerusalem. Okay? What's that mean? It means the temple is now no longer a physical place. It's in us. God is in me, and I am in God. Right? This has become such a common place, right? When you think about this, all the way down to Sunday school, it's been just drilled into me that Christ is in me. I ask Jesus into my heart, right? It's become almost axiomatic. The sky is blue, the Bible is true, there's fish in the sea, and Christ is in me, right? All these things. It's proven in my head that I don't even need to think about it anymore. I have Christ in me. What I forget, and what we forget, is you have Christ in you. Right? You know that you have Christ in you. I shouldn't say we forget. I forget that you have Christ in you. Okay? And so, yes, I know Christ is in here, but I remember now Christ is in Jennifer, and Christ is in Sean, and Christ is among his people. So, when we start thinking about this in terms of church, and I get my God is not just in me, but my God is also in you, and I get to get together, and we get to see the temple that's in each other. This is a call to love church, guys. The answer here isn't, no, you don't have to go to church. The answer is, you get to go to church, right? The answer to, do you have to go to church in order to love God is, I couldn't even answer that way. I would say, I don't have to kiss my wife. And I don't have to wrestle with my son. And I don't have to sing at the top of my lungs with my daughter when we're driving in the car, right? I get to do these things. Another wonderful chiastic poem is Philippians 2, right? And Philippians 2 starts out with, let each of you not look only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming down in the likeness of men, right? Church, guys,
is the spot where I get to serve God in you, where I get to serve you, and you get to serve me. And the Spirit has given us these gifts, and I get to use my gifts for you, and you get to use your gifts for me. And if I'm not an eye, as the Bible says, and I'm a nose, and we're smelling things together, and you're the eye, I need that. I need that sense of vision. I need what you guys have, and you need what I have. And we get together, and we geek out about God. Right? Church is the place where I get to sing with you about how great God is and what God has done in my life. Church is the place, as we see in here, all the tribes go there, right? And all the tribes, and as they get closer to Jerusalem, their identity disappears. And now I'm no longer Matt. I'm part of the church, right? I'm part of the group of people that gets to worship God, right? So no, you don't have to go to church to love God. You get to go to church to love God. And if you don't want to go to church, you got a lot of questions here, okay? I don't want to end, I'm going to end here, but I don't want to end with this thing like, ah, man, I thought I loved God, but I don't enjoy church, right? Don't be disheartened. Question yourself. But I will tell you, it is the same as practice. You might feel that way now, but when you start to think of God in each one of his people and getting to hang out with him and getting to worship God together, and you start to really apply that to your life, it's going to be a gradual thing, but eventually you're going to start to see it. You just have to have the right attitude. You have to see it clearly. You have to have the attitude like the psalmist says, I was overjoyed on Sunday morning when I got to go to church. I was there, and I was hanging out with my people, and I can't wait. And the church is this compact and tight-knit unit, and it orients itself around God. And we can start to take this song, and we can start to change little things into it, to apply it to our lives, and really live our lives into that, the joy of what the church, lowercase c and capital C church, can bring to us, guys. It is just a wonderful thing. And I would encourage you, if you tend to struggle, if you would rather go fishing, or if you've got monster trucks that you wash on Sunday, or all this stuff, right? Like, take it, okay? Those are fun things. I'm not saying you can't enjoy things in life, but church is just such a great time to grow each other, to edify each other, to build each other up and encourage each other. You are selling yourself short. You are cutting yourself off at the knees if you guys don't get under it. All right, let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much for the people who put this on and the people who put on church every week, God. And we just ask you to please help us to get the most out of that, God. So much effort goes into it on our side, and it's such an enjoyable thing for you to see all of your children getting together and hanging out as a family. Help us to honor that and to love that. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.